Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
With Ring cameras, you can protect your home from anywhere. You're at baggage claim, and you get a motion alert. Check live view and see a guy looking in your car window. Luckily, you've got floodlight cam. So you press the siren button and let 105 decibels do the rest. Problem solved. Home protected. Bag on its way. With Ring, you can protect your home from anywhere. Learn more at ring.com.
Coming at you live from Auto Trader, here's New Car Energy.
They're searching inventory. You can make a budget for your wallet to help you succeed. It's smarter car shopping just for
Find
you.
Find your next ride at autotrader.com, powered by Auto Intelligence.
All right, we're back. Part of the pod is going to join us at 1:25. We'll talk to him about Memphis basketball and just kind of the latest there. Practice getting underway. I don't think there's any news, but, you know, we catch up with Parth every week, so whatever, just deal with it. Memphis, Arkansas, obviously tomorrow morning, 11 o'clock. I know a lot of people are excited, going to get out and tailgate. Seems like the weather's going to clear up. Look, Frank Bonner has a piece of the Daily Memphian where he goes over, the record for Ryan Silverfield in Memphis football generally in these kinds of games against power conference schools. So last five home games against power conference schools since 2015, 2021, Memphis beat Mississippi State, controversial there with Calvin Austin. Mississippi State was up 17-7 at the half, and then that's, of course, when Calvin Austin III just went crazy, had the 94-yard punt return, had two touchdown catches, and Memphis, of course, went on to beat Mississippi State. We were asking about the attendance in that one, Brad. It was 43,461.
Okay.
So, you know, that was not 60. Well, I don't remember if there were COVID, restrictions still at that time.
I think that's about where we need our seating. I mean, we always talk about needing 50 to 50, 60. These stadiums are now no longer that big. I mean, they just are.
I think the new renovations will be around 50.
That's about the number. Yeah. 50 tops?
I was hoping
it'd be mid-40s. It'd be better, but...
I don't remember exactly how many seats it will hold, but I think it's definitely going to be in the 40s.
I think the less the better. And I'm not saying that that's not me sliding. That's just a fact that these tickets are getting harder to sell in a lot of places unless you're Alabama.
FedEx Forum should certainly be less than 18,000.
That seems appropriate.
Because that's not getting filled.
No.
And I think the idea there is they're going to redo the construction of the how many seats are in the upper versus how many you're doing more lower than upper.
Yeah.
I mean, I think that will help. Because I'm just a snob when it comes to these seats, man.
Well, and stylistically, Jarvis actually texted during the show when he was listening to us earlier when we talked about the forum, and he said, you know, that was how things were built, and that's one of the things that the city and the county commission got right, mm-hmm. was that they put those luxury boxes in. 25 years ago, luxury boxes were a thing,
yep.
because FedEx was buying luxury boxes. Now when these corporations buy tickets, they actually buy blocks of tickets, and people want to sit in the lower bowl. And people aren't as hunky-dory about luxury boxes. You know, you need one strip of them. You need two. So you probably rip out that second strip of luxury boxes and then put more seats lower, and you sort of reconfigure the bowl, I would think.
Yeah, I don't really enjoy going to games from a luxury box.
No, because you can't really watch the game because you're busy hobnobbing. You know, most people don't sit in the actual seats because you're eating in the buffet line behind you.
And it's not a great view.
No.
Not a great view.
And in 2000, the mentality was that was a cool thing. It just was. Like, I remember feeling like, oh, luxury box. Now I always go, I think most people go, are they lower tickets? You know, are these 100 level? And they want to sit next to their buddy. Because what happened? Now what they do, and this wasn't happening 20 years ago because of the technology, you swipe your card and the attendant comes to the lower bowl seat, you know?
Right. Well, you know what else was cool 20 years ago?
What's that?
93X.
Yeah, and then it goes away and you have a sports station. It's Howard Stern. Also, Howard Stern.
It's dead.
Hey, 25 years ago, I talked to somebody this morning, we're talking about 93X. Howard Stern 25 years ago had Donald Trump on his show. and was doing D jokes. 25 years later, Donald Trump is now, or now Stern is doing no more Trump on Donald on his show.
Right.
And he is in a totally different.
Well, Donald Trump is the president of the United States.
Yeah. I mean, that, no, but I'm talking about Stern no longer. Yeah. He's not doing D jokes. He's doing.
Right, right.
He's going on rants about why did we fire the ABC late night host? You know?
Well, I mean, you know, that's been Howard Stern. And you know what? He still has an audience and he still makes a lot of money.
Oh, yeah.
So I give him credit for
nice
that.
Gig.
It'll be 42.
But times change.
42 to 44,000 will be the seating arrangement.
That sounds good.
Yeah. So
that's about what it should be.
That would have been a sellout, right? In 2021 with Mississippi State. I'm just going through these because it gets me excited. 2019, Memphis beat Ole Miss 15-10. That was a very strange game. I remember watching that when I was actually in Florida watching that one, and it was just like they're going to win a defensive battle here against Ole Miss. Like that's not usually how Memphis wins games like this, but it was a very weird game. Memphis never scored fewer than 28 for the rest of the year. Of course, they went on to win the AAC championship and go to the Cotton Bowl. So that was a very real game. That was a very real sort of indicator of this team is. You know, this team is very much real. 2017, Memphis beat UCLA 48-45. I believe that would have been, was that Josh Rosen?
Yeah, I was at the game.
It was Josh Rosen.
Josh Rosen was on the field at the Liberty Bowl. I was there.
Yeah. It was a thriller in Manila, man. And it was just a battle. Riley Ferguson, 6 touchdowns.
Yep.
What a game.
It's awesome.
That is, he really cemented himself in that one. Some of these names are just fun. Phil Mayhew. I enjoyed the Phil Mayhew era at Memphis. Okay, Memphis finished 10-3 that year. They lost in the AAC championship. So you know, again,
did they lose to Cincinnati that year?
I think it was South Florida.
Okay,
or excuse me, Central Florida. UCF. That was when
UCF was dominant then. Yeah.
So when you, with the exception, you know, of the 2021 year, you know, usually it's been a barometer, right? It's been a good weather vane. If Memphis wins this game, they go on to do big
things. That was a fluky win. We can be real about that.
The UCLA one?
Yeah, no, the Mississippi State one. You said the 21.
I don't feel like relitigating that with you. Okay, all these years later, it's.
And
a
by
win.
The way, my favorite one of all of them because it involved Calvin Austin, my favorite NFL player.
That's right. That's right. You can say it's a fluke, but you got to play through the whistle, man.
I know. No, Calvin Austin deserves everything.
Lesson learned.
Hey, Leach learned his lesson off of that one. He got a lesson.
That he did. I don't know why we're counting this one, Frank, but I guess we'll just go with it. Memphis 43, Kansas 7 in 2016.
Power 5.
Man, chinny chin chin.
Yeah.
Kansas was awful. I don't even remember who the coach would have been at this time, but Memphis didn't win 43-7. And then, of course, 2015, we all know, we all remember, Memphis beat Ole Miss 37-24, and Memphis knocked them off. Memphis knocked them off.
Yeah, that was special.
They started the season 8-0, and then it all kind of fell apart, sadly, at the end. Paxton Lynch probably got hurt and was probably more hurt than he was letting on. Fuente was starting to talk to Virginia Tech, you know, that was starting to become a thing. But that 8-0 start was a lot of fun. That 8-0 start was
a blast. Is that the same year? They had a win against Houston and a loss against Houston. There was one year where they lost to him in the regular season and maybe won later in a conference.
I don't think it was that one, no. I don't think it was.
That was 15 you're talking about,
that
though?
That was 2015. They finished 9-4 because, I said, Paxton Lynch got hurt. I think it was against Temple and kept playing.
The game I remember listening to, and it was Wolo on the call because it wasn't televised, was Memphis went on the road. This is before that Ole Miss win. It was the most seminal moment I've had as I knew something was brewing because Fuente was the coach. That UCLA road game they had, was that the year before the Ole Miss game? Was that 14?
Yeah, that would have been 14, yeah.
Man, I was listening through the static to that little radio station so I could hear Wolo call that game. That was nuts. That was nuts. And they ended up winning that game. That's when you knew, you're like, oh boy, we just beat UCLA at UCLA. This is when UCLA was actually a good football team.
Well, that's the thing, right? Memphis didn't win.
They didn't win, did they?
It was 42-35.
Was it really?
Yes, Memphis didn't win, but I think your point, thinking that they won,
it was an insane game. I just remember it.
It just speaks to the. I still agree with your point, even if you've forgotten some of the.
I've forgotten the loss.
Yeah,
I forgot certainly.
But
42-35. I always remembered it as a win.
You're
right.
I think Fuente has even said, you know, that night, because it was funny because my memory of it is it was on that stupid Pac-12 network.
I don't even remember. I just remember listening to Static on a radio to hear it.
You thought the damn Tigers won. All right, so you gotta.
You know what? At that point, we were so pissed. We were at that point. We were still the narrative around Memphis in 14.
Yeah.
Forget what you think about Justin Fuente today.
Yeah.
Before that, UCLA game flipped it on its ass because you're like,
well, they were 11 in the country.
Yeah.
They had Brett Hundley at quarterback.
You're like, let's see what we got here, kids.
They had a lot of talent on that team. There's no doubt about that. But I just remember being on Pac-12 Network and nobody had it.
Right.
Nobody had it.
No one here had that. Yeah.
So you had to go. I think only UVerse offered the Pac-12 Network. That was the controversy.
That sounds right, man.
So you had to go to a bar that had it. And I remember like going on.
You saw it?
We ended up at this random Mexican restaurant that had it. And I think Brookhaven had it as well. But, you know, it was so packed. It was so packed at Brookhaven that you had to go somewhere else. But it was seminal. Even though in your history books, Memphis won the game.
It was a
eureka moment though. Like, hey, this program absolutely is going somewhere under Justin Fuente.
Yeah.
Like they gave UCLA on the road everything that they could possibly handle. I think that's when the light kind of flickered. I mean, Memphis led in the second quarter. They were down two touchdowns, fought all the way back, and tied it up at 35. And they had lots of chances at the end of the game. But, yes, I mean, I distinctly remember that night saying, maybe this Memphis football program can amount to something.
Yep.
You know, maybe all the investment and all the patience and you know, you got Paxton Lynch at quarterback who had a great day, 305 yards. Maybe it's about to flip.
This is nuts. I'm looking up this game right now. How many people do you think were in the Rose Bowl for that game?
Oh, I don't even know how many the Rose Bowl holds, but
72,000 people watched the Memphis Tigers play a football game that day.
That's pretty crazy.
72,000. Now UCLA could only hope to get 7,000.
That's pretty nuts.
That's crazy to me.
Yeah.
That's 10 years ago, 11 years ago. Like Memphis was in the Rose Bowl playing UCLA. Almost won the game they lost.
Yeah.
But I remembered it as like, oh my God, seminal moment. But like both of those programs have gone in two totally separate directions.
No, well, UCLA is a mess. I mean, UCLA is at a big disadvantage because, you know, they're one of the teams in the Big Ten that has to travel.
Yeah.
You know, like crazy.
This is what they wanted, man.
They did. And I think they'd still do it over, you know, because the Pac-12 died. But,
yeah.
I mean, they're definitely going to be at a disadvantage in the Big Ten. That's why, you know, they hired Deshaun Watson, like, who had no experience. Like, it's not a coveted job.
Right.
I mean, it's like you're going to go there and get your teeth kicked in.
You are. In the Big Ten, you are.
It's just the reality.
Yeah.
I mean, even USC's having a hard time, right? Like they haven't been the same.
It's tough.
Like the USC used to have aura, you know. Like they used to the uniforms at night, like going to but it's like,
well,
it's like another program.
It's tough because you have to fly like this weekend. You play Michigan State. You could easily lose that game. You know.
Yeah.
Good luck.
Yeah, 100%. So look, if Memphis wins, I mean, there is some evidence, some history here that suggests that it could mean something. It could mean that they will be right there, right? But I don't want to like go there yet. I don't want to say that automatically beating Arkansas. This game is at home, and it matters that it's at home. You know,
you needed it.
If this game was in Arkansas, they'd be a 2-touchdown underdog probably. So it absolutely matters that it's in Memphis. These games are much more winnable on your turf than theirs. And you know, the good news for Memphis is that they're getting South Florida here. They're getting Tulane here. We can't fast forward.
Right.
I can't tell you what the results of those games are going to be. I know everybody wants that. Everybody,
yeah.
We'd like to do that. We can't. You know, it's September the 19th. I can't tell you what's going to happen. But I do think for Memphis' sake, you know, for Ryan Silverfield, which is kind of where I started the show, you know, to get back to the days of 40,000 plus, you know, 45,000 plus, you got to win games like this. You got to win games like this because it's pretty easy to check out if you get your ass kicked.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Pretty easy to check out because, you know, you can always get back in if you make a playoff or something like that. But, like, the barrier, you know, of entry is very, very high for me. And it always has been for Memphis football, right? Like, you have to do extraordinary things at Memphis to get people interested.
You do.
I mean, now, it's, I think, become less of that because they've been consistently successful. I mean, they're one of three teams that have won seven games in a row.
Right.
But the other two teams are Illinois and Ohio State.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, I do.
Like, it's a little different. When you're in the American, they're in the Big Ten, it means a little less that you've won. It's like Liberty. It's like if Liberty won 14 games in a row, who cares? I don't care. I don't even know where they play. Conference USA? So, you know, this is one of your rare opportunities, maybe the last you'll ever get, you know, at home against an SEC opponent. I mean, you can just see. I mean, you go back 5 years, that takes you all the way back to, five home games against SEC teams or Power Four teams.
Yeah.
You got to go all the way back to 2015, right? Yeah. The last five games will get you 10 years back.
I mean, it's a miracle that Laird did get this two-for-one deal done. And I know you're giving up two away games. It's a miracle in retrospect.
Mm-hmm.
And I know he's done some real dumb things, especially with non-power conferences. Mm-hmm. Like, it's egregious that we have to go to Georgia State. I agree with that.
Yeah.
I think it's crazy we're playing Troy on the road. That's nuts. Like, the fact that we got a two-for-one with an SEC opponent before they did the nine-team thing is insanity.
Yeah, I agree. I agree.
Like, I know we bash on Laird a lot because he did some dumb things, but this is one of them where it's like, wow, thank God he got that done.
Yeah, no, you know? I mean, this is one of the few scheduling wins Memphis has had in football.
Yeah,
recently.
No, major dub here.
But I mean, you know, he also got you four games at Arkansas State.
Yeah, that's fair.
So how do you balance that?
You don't. I mean, and
I think it's a wash.
I think it's a wash.
It might actually be a negative.
It might be a negative.
Because you have to go to Jonesboro twice.
With all of these bad power, sub-power teams, I mean, it does seem to be less than a wash, maybe.
I will say this. You remember in September of last year, Arkansas's AD was saying he was open to moving this game.
I do remember your renovations. He said it here at the touchdown club. I heard him say it in person.
I'm very grateful that Memphis did not do that.
I know. You can't. You can't let him do it.
Because if they would have done that. Then they would have never gotten this game.
I know.
Because of the new SEC rules.
And I'm sure they kind of felt that coming, too. But to your point, yeah, you don't get the game.
You probably don't know specifically.
No.
But if you're Memphis, you're like, look, Arkansas, you have screwed us over on games for so long. We're not playing that. We're not doing that.
Going back to the Missouri game that we agreed to concede and still took a payout to go to St. Louis, was there any way we could have held the line and had that at home, or that was a buyoutable game, like where there was an option to do so? Do you remember?
There was
not a choice in that contract where we could have lost it.
I think they were willing to buy it out.
They were willing to buy it
out.
But
I think Memphis wanted to play.
Yeah, I knew you wanted the game. Yeah. We'd rather even have a neutral game than which was really not a neutral if we're being honest about it.
Yeah, oh, 100%.
It was in St. Louis.
Yeah. I think they got paid to move it, though.
Yeah.
That's
it was like $500,000.
Yeah, I don't remember exactly what the
it was a large sum of money.
Oh, yeah, it was up to $1 million.
Yeah.
Yeah. So there you go.
Honestly, I do like these neutral site games that are starting to occur. You know, you might have luck if you're Ed doing something like that. I'm not saying it's going to be Mizzou, but you could do, and it ain't going to be Tennessee for damn sure. But like, I don't know. You know, not somebody like a Mississippi State or even an Ole Miss where you're playing it, and that's not the right example, but you get what I'm saying. Like, you're going to have to get creative here.
Mm-hmm, no doubt.
Much like you are with basketball.
That's right. Got to get creative.
Harder in football because there's less games, and I get that, and the SEC has screwed you now.
Well, Memphis basketball is not really getting creative so much as they're just getting good teams on the schedule.
And they're good. And they're perennially a good opponent for the team, and the losses aren't as egregious because you play so many games.
Well, and it's just a different calculus for college basketball because it's a resume that you're building here. That's you know, you're competing with 67 other teams, right?
Yeah.
Like, you're competing with you're for seeding and for region and for all these different things, and so you by the end of it want to be able to say that, oh man, I played the toughest non-conference schedule in the country on top of being in the ACC.
Yeah,
I'm just using ACC.
No, that's right. That's good.
But like in college football, if you're either 11-1, you're 12-1, or 12-0. It's like it doesn't matter like what ultimately because. You're going to win your conference.
Yeah.
Your record's going to be your record, and it's not really going to matter. If you're one of those teams that is like on the cusp of making the playoff, maybe it could be a factor.
Yeah.
You know, but there's a lot of factors, and it's not just about who you play in. So Memphis just ends up getting left out.
I mean, you might even have, like, it's going to be a team like a Kentucky, which is like out of nowhere, mm-hmm. you know, like that kind of a football team. Mm-hmm. Like, we're like, oh, let's. You know, because we're getting Louisville in basketball. It sounds like pretty soon. Like we're gonna
You got a 6-year series with Louisville.
Like we're gonna get there. You know, in basketball, football, we need to figure that out.
I think
football
is just gonna be tougher. Like I said, even for Kentucky, because there's no incentive for Kentucky to play Memphis.
You want
to
be one of those three or two that you're gonna get, and it's just very hard.
Yeah, because One of the three has to be a Power Four team, so that's only two. It leaves two. All right. Well, I want to play some bye games,
yeah,
so that I can win 63-0. And I tell you what, I don't want to do if I'm a Kentucky.
I ain't playing Memphis.
100%.
Yeah.
Why would I do that?
I'm playing Austin Peay.
Why would Mark Stoops want to play Memphis?
No.
So he could lose in the game and get fired.
No.
And have a horrible week.
No, you're right.
And by the way, if he beats Memphis, what's he get? Nothing.
Nothing.
He gets nothing. He gets no praise. He gets no, like, nothing. So these games will cease to exist. It's just it's always been tough for Memphis in the recent era,
right,
and it's going to continue to be tough for Memphis. It's only going to get tougher. All right, Parth Upadhyay is going to join us on the other side. We'll talk to him about Memphis basketball, the latest there, and more. Stick around. Jason and John, 90.9 FM, ESPN.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
With Ring cameras, you can protect your home from anywhere. You're at baggage claim, and you get a motion alert. Check live view and see a guy looking in your car window. Luckily, you've got floodlight cam. So you press the siren button and let 105 decibels do the rest. Problem solved. Home protected. Bag on its way. With Ring, you can protect your home from anywhere. Learn more at ring.com.
Coming at you live from Auto Trader, here's New Car Energy.
They're searching inventory. You can make a budget for your wallet to help you succeed. It's smarter car shopping just
for
you.
Find your next ride at autotrader.com, powered by Auto Intelligence.
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because, let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different. Good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Welcome back. Jason and John, 90.9 FM, ESPN. Every Friday around this time, Parth Upadhyay joins us. He covers Memphis basketball for the Daily Memphian. What's up, dog?
What's up, man? How's it going?
So, you know, you've been in Memphis for about 3 years. Feels like this is like the biggest home game they've had since you've been here.
Yeah, I was going to say, Tigers football, this is the first week that I've covered Tigers basketball that it seems like in the city, the buzz, the things that are being talked about on sports talk radio, the conversations being had in barbershops, restaurants, whatever, are centered around football, right? Tigers football, not Tigers basketball. And that's the first time I can say that since I moved here on 901 day, 2022.
How many restaurants have you been in where you can speak on that?
I haven't even been to a barbershop this week. But yeah, I mean, like, you got what I'm saying, though, right?
So you're on the radio saying things, man? I mean, there needs to be some
You walk in the streets of Memphis, you hear these things,
so you don't know what's being said in the barbershops. You don't know what's being said in the restaurants, man.
I probably got some takeout earlier this week and heard a thing or two about Brendan Lewis.
That's
and
crazy.
Sutton Smith and Ryan Silverfield. Yeah, sure did.
I can't believe you just ChatGPT'd me on the show, bro. That's crazy.
You get what I'm saying, though.
Unbelievable. You know what I mean?
I saw him drop that.
He ChatGPT.
My guy, he is internet Googling.
He said,
I'm not Googling anything.
I got my hands off the keyboard. Hands off the keyboard. Let's be a prop to here, bro.
He said all the time in barbershops and restaurants. I've been in a damn barbershop or restaurant this week.
Asterisk barbershop.
That's crazy.
You get the premise, right?
I'm just saying, you grocked me on that, bro.
A little bit. My bad.
That's fine.
My bad.
I could just kind of feel, though. I could just kind of get the I got the vibe that.
You got a clean cut, though. It looks like you have been in the barbershop, bro.
I can't remember. When's the last time I was there? My barbershop's in Cordova.
Okay. But again, you have no idea what they're talking about this week.
I was there. I'm mixing up my weeks, man. It was either there
I understand.
Late last week or early this week.
Gotcha.
And I think Tiger football was mentioned. Was it a full-out conversation? Probably not, but I believe this big game tomorrow against Arkansas was at least mentioned.
Yeah, I'm sure it was.
Yeah, way to talk yourself out of that.
My contention on this game is that it doesn't really matter.
Yeah, I mean, in terms of college football playoff,
in terms of aspirations, it doesn't matter. For Memphis, the goal is to just win the American, right? Like, I mean, because if you win the American, you go to the playoff.
Yeah, but to generate buzz and to ensure that fans are staying on this Memphis wagon. You get what I'm saying, man. If they get blasted tomorrow, that's not going to sit well, right?
Hold on. There's a difference between losing a game and getting blasted.
Of course.
Right? So I'm just saying if they just lose in a traditional way by 10.
What does that mean?
They lose by 10.
Okay.
If they just lose a competitive game that, you know, maybe they have a chance to cover the number late, but they don't or whatever, or even if they even do, like, there's a difference between that and getting beat by 3 touchdowns.
No, absolutely. I just think, like, you know, if you win tomorrow, you've got an opportunity to really get that pendulum swinging in the other direction, right? Like, actually building momentum, building excitement, getting butts in seats when Tulane comes to town.
That is why it matters.
Exactly.
That's why it matters. Yeah. It matters from a fan perspective. Because I think when I started the show, I was talking about it. There is an excitement problem with Memphis football. It's just, you know, part of it is I think they play a certain style. Part of it is I think the coach is like, you know, he's not the most charismatic coach in the world.
And then historically, it's a basketball school. It's a basketball town, yeah. Right? So that's tough, too.
And so I think you have to have – we thought Mississippi State would be the moment. You know, you weren't here for that. But when he beat Mississippi State in 2021,
right? Yeah.
I think we collectively believe that, okay, this is Ryan Silverfield's signature win. Like, this is going to, like, propel him, you know, to big-time things. And it never happened. It kind of flatlined from there. And you're trying to build it back now. You're coming off of 2 double-digit win seasons. But you don't – even within those, you don't really have, like, that signature win. You know what I'm saying? Like,
no.
Tulane last year was a nice win. But it's, like, in the context of the season when it happened, it's, like, everybody was checked out because they knew you couldn't be in the title game.
Yeah, Florida State was supposed to be that in Tallahassee, but we saw what happened there with the Seminoles.
So
you know?
I think Silverfield needs this. I do. I think Silverfield needs this for you know, credibility with his fan base, with getting people back into this, you know, because I don't think it's been this great big rush. You know what I mean? So I do think that's where it matters.
The problem is Arkansas is good. I heard y'all debating whether this is a good football team or not. This is a good football team, right?
It's good relative to...
They went to Ole Miss and hung
right.
Not relative to the full SEC picture part, don't you think?
No, but middle of the pack?
They're
SEC?
Mid-pack. They're mid-pack SEC, yeah.
Like, where do you think Memphis would be if we threw them the SEC? Not mid of the pack, right?
Maybe at the bottom.
Yeah, that's my point.
Yeah, probably.
I mean, Arkansas is favored by 7.5 in Memphis. I mean, so that kind of gives you a really good idea of where Memphis would rank in the SEC.
It'll be the best quarterback they'll see all season, right?
Yes.
Without a doubt. Yeah. Without a shadow of a doubt. So, 100%. I just think Arkansas is a good team, but they're a middle-of-the-pack SEC team. You know, like, that's what they are.
Yeah.
I mean, they're
a competent, better than competent, right, football team.
I think. Well, we don't know that much.
We think Ole Miss is good, right? Can we say that?
Yeah.
If Ole Miss is good and Arkansas, lost by a touchdown?
To a backup, but...
To a backup. You know, to a backup who played really well, but to did. A backup.
But they let him play well, right? I mean, they...
So it goes both ways.
It does. I mean, so I think Arkansas is pretty good. Like, I think they're a top 40-ish team.
Yeah.
I would say that's kind of where I would draw the line for them. But Taylor Green, if he plays like this, they could probably be better.
Yeah, I mean, no doubt.
And that's why it's like, you know, that's why I'm not really putting any, because I think this guy's going to absolutely torch Memphis tomorrow.
You think so?
Absolutely.
He's really freaking good. Yeah, I heard you say he's got more rushing yards than Sutton Smith, which is crazy. Sutton Smith plays running back.
What are we talking about, right? I mean, I don't think Memphis fans realize they got, like, prime Michael Vick coming into this mug tomorrow, bro. Like,
man.
I mean, this dude is nasty, bro. So I do just, like, I don't have any... I'm not going to criticize Memphis if they lose this game tomorrow. Put it like that. You know what I mean?
Unless they lose in disgusting fashion. That's the only way they'll be.
If they lose by 59, then it'll be embarrassing.
Right. I don't think it's going to happen.
You're more in my camp. Wait. I think Memphis is going to win the game.
You think so?
Yes.
I didn't say that. I didn't say Memphis is going to win the game.
Okay.
I said,
but you think it'll be respectable is where you've landed.
I think that 7.5 number.
John is an ass kicking. I'm a win. You're in the middle.
I'm not necessarily an ass kicking. I think Arkansas wins.
What's the line? 7.5?
Seven and a half, yeah.
I think Arkansas will win by more than 7.5 points.
You would bet it?
I would bet it. But I'm not a better, but I would bet it.
You don't bet.
Certainly wouldn't bet, you know, on a team that we cover here, the Tigers. But
yeah, that's illegal.
What integrity?
Yeah, capital J journalism, baby.
What integrity? Yeah. I try not to bet on Memphis.
Try not to. It's crazy.
I do. I really try not to. like I don't mean like because I don't want to, but like,
right.
I try to like just avoid the you know the entanglement. You know what I mean?
The conflict of interest. Is that the...
Yeah, I think it could be a little bit of...
Is that what you're describing?
Yeah, like, oh, okay. I think like if certainly if I were you, it would be off limits.
For know? Sure, for sure. It's a little bit different.
I think with me, it's a little grayish, you know, a little gray area, you know.
You're more of a sports personality, right, than a beat.
Exactly. You know, I'm a college sports columnist for the Daily Memphian. And I do write about betting there, but it's just that's an internal battle that I fight within myself. Nobody's ever asked me to fight it.
Yeah, right.
It's just
I got you.
It's just the weight of being a man with such high integrity is kind of what I have to deal with. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
No one's auditing me. No one's checking me. It's just me versus me.
No, I respect it.
And it's the kind of stuff they talk about in barbershops and restaurants, you know, the weight of being a high-integrity man. So anyway, no, I hope Memphis wins. I hope Memphis wins by a billion, and we come in here on Monday and we can celebrate it.
Are you going?
I am not going, no.
Okay, I'm actually going. One of my, so I wanted to cover it, like we talked about for the Daily Memphian, but we've got so many people on it already. Didn't need another set of hands, right, out there.
I think you should still write. I think you should write from like the fans.
From the stands on my phone?
Yeah.
I don't know about that.
I'll hit up David.
All right, you work on that. Let me know what happens.
We're going to put you to work out there, man.
No, but one of my friends who's a season ticket holder, her and her husband found two extra tickets. So I'll be going, yeah.
So who's your plus one?
I don't have one.
Okay.
So I'll be going solo dolo.
Yep. Are you looking for one?
Not exactly, no.
Okay. All right.
Trying to enjoy a football game here. Right?
All right, I'm just trying to
watch some football.
I'm just trying to help.
Can we have girls call into the show and go with you?
God,
are you single?
I am single.
You want to get set up? We've done this with Brandy before.
We've never done it with a male.
Male.
Yeah, you would be the first.
Who's
male.
Brandy?
Brandy was a social media director we had here. We hooked her up.
Auctioned
on
off your coworker.
She wanted a date. She was trying to hook up, so we got her help.
There was no monetary, currency changing hands. It was just like a. You know, it was like a game show.
You
like,
pimped
hey,
out your coworker on 92.9.
I wouldn't say pimped. You know, it was
we weren't pimping.
It was again. There was no financial.
I got you.
You know what I'm saying? Gain. It was more of an entertainment deal. And she ended up going on a date with the parents. She got screened.
Yeah.
The parents of an NFL player.
Yep.
How about that?
Well, how'd that go?
The guy called in and said, my son's an NFL player, but before I introduce you to him, me and my wife want to
meet
you.
Up with you.
That is funny. That's hilarious, actually.
Oh, yeah.
So if you ever want to do that, man, holla at me.
Alrighty.
Let me know.
Noted.
Ladies, Parr's a good looking dude. Like it'd be a fun match.
Maybe Brad will take you on a date.
No, I'm just trying to sell it if we get you on, man.
Good.
It's not some schlub we're bringing in here, John.
That's right. Very, very good point.
You know, like a lot of these guys, I don't want to speak for all of our guests. They're not the standard that Parth upholds here.
You make a great point. No question about that. What's the latest with Memphis basketball? Anything new? They're practicing. I did see this. I saw Curtis Givens posting highlights on TikTok because I'm in that world, bro. And my man CG3 was pulling up from half.
I need to get on TikTok because I see more and more of like what is it, screenshots or whatever of TikToks that are being posted to Twitter or Instagram, whatever. I need to go to the source, man. I need to go to the source and see what's up. I think a lot of these guys are using TikTok now more than ever, right? Like whether they're posting highlights or posting, you know,
TikTok
dancing in the locker room, whatever it may be.
See, by the time you get on there, we're on to something else, bro.
I'm going to get on tonight.
But
I'm going to make a TikTok.
There was a video. It really made me excited.
Uh-huh.
It was Curtis Givens, like, just pulling up confidently, like, you know, with the Juicy J sound going on in the back. They out here snitching. Yeah! It was great. It was fantastic. I'm really excited about him. I think, you know, I've adopted him in many ways as, like, my favorite player for next year for a number of reasons. But one of them being that he's Memphis. You know, he's a Memphis kid.
No doubt.
We have just had too few of those in recent years over there. Is there a world, you think, where he could be a starter?
I think so, but I think just in terms of fit and the way lineups and stuff would go together, I think he's best served in that backup point guard role, right? Because you've got Doug McDaniel, you've got Sincere Parker, assuming he's cleared and can play as your backcourt already. Then, you know, we talked about it. We went through it, right? Zach Davis, you got Aaron Bradshaw. And now you're throwing into the mix Tariq Ingram, who could easily play that five, be the starting five for the team. So it's just natural that, you know, Curtis Givens, what, Quante Berry and Ashton Hardaway would kind of, you know, spearhead that second unit. Oh, and not to forget Hassan Abdul-Hakim.
Mm.
That's pretty, I mean, that's nice off the bench, those four. So yeah, no doubt.
Yeah, I'm, there's a chance. I mean, if the bets that they've made on those guys, and I think Tarik Ingram actually could be a pretty timely addition. We did the math last week. It was 72-70 in terms of your Bart Torvik rating.
So slight.
Yeah. Or KenPom. I don't remember which one.
It was Bart Torvik, I think.
Was it Torvik?
Yeah. Yeah.
Every spot matters, man. I mean, and it is amazing to me that, like, the South Florida continues to be the favorite in this league. I can't say I understand the love. Maybe I'm just going to be wrong, and I'm putting my head in the sand here, but it's like,
how is their roster on paper better, right? Like, I don't think it is.
It's not. But I think the logic might be that this guy beat Memphis last
year. Silly logic. It's one game.
Right. I agree.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, that's one I would bet. I would probably bet Memphis plus two, whatever it is, to win the conference.
Yeah.
I would be extremely, extremely disappointed if Memphis does not win the AAC next year.
I think a lot of people would, right?
Like, I think that would be a moment where you're really kind of like starting to question things.
Yeah. I mean, it's one thing if you stumble through the non-conference, which I think a lot of us predict, but a lot of us predict they'll have more losses than last year.
Yeah,
they won't
exactly.
be a 10-3, you know, non-conference record at the end of December.
Yes. Yes.
But it's another thing altogether to falter in your league where, you know, you're pouring a lot more resources and you have a lot more talent just on paper than anybody,
mm-hmm.
you know, any of your conference mates. So I think that should be the, you know, bare bone expectation is just win that league and make the NCAA tournament.
Do you expect Memphis to have more money next year for NIL and recruiting? Like, because this year we talked about it, right? Like,
yeah.
We said it kind of everybody else's payroll went up. Memphis's slightly went down. From the people I talk to nationally, there's this expectation that it will kind of come back to earth next year in terms of these high payouts.
So they'll stop, the big spenders will stop spending as much as that?
Yeah, like I think there was a worry with the house settlement, you know.
I see, yeah.
Before, like, so all these schools in the spring said we're going to just get...
Hurry to get deals done.
Exactly right.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And so there's an expectation that now that that's kind of been settled, that it will settle down and the market will cool. Because, I mean, it should. I mean, the idea that there are guards out here making $2 million who averaged like 8 points a game last year.
Nuts, man.
Like, what are y'all doing, man? So do you think Memphis will be in any way better equipped next year with NIL and ref share?
I mean, you got to think so, right? Because that first reason, people aren't going to be panicking. Schools aren't going to be panicking or rushing to get these deals done and just throwing around money, because there is, you know, the house settlement has been approved. That structure is in place. And then on the second part of that, if you look at kind of what Ed Scott said, you know, publicly, and you look at even with the Big 12 proposal, right? Like, within that pitch was the idea that Memphis would be able to either hit that $20.5 million rev share max or come really, really close to it. So if their funds are going to increase by that much over this next calendar year and everybody else is going to cool down, then mm-hmm. you expect Memphis to be more competitive, certainly.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I think they did a pretty good job with what they have. Like, with what they had, I should say.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, they got a top five player in the country, you know, when he was coming out of high school.
You're talking about Aaron Bratt. Okay, okay. I was like, who is, okay.
Now, he may not be that anymore, but I mean.
But he could be that too, so it's a double.
I mean, at some point, he was that. So, you have to, I think, leave room for the chance that he comes here and figures something out in a worse league, you know?
No doubt, no doubt.
I think that's, you know.
I think Doug McDaniel's a great get. Mm-hmm. Sincere Parker, very high upside. We've talked about him a lot. And then bringing the hometown guys back, that's key, not only for this year, but for some continuity in your program and hopefully getting some guys that are going to stick around more than a season.
Yeah, absolutely right. So anyway, all right, man, enjoy the games.
Yes, sir.
Enjoy the games, and we'll catch up next week about what they're saying around town.
Absolutely.
But you got to actually go. You got to go around town. You know?
I'm going to hang around town more.
Where do you live?
Like, I live downtown.
Okay, you live downtown.
Yeah.
Have you seen the National Guard?
Not yet. Not yet.
Are you excited?
I live on the corner of South Main and MLK.
Oh, whoa. Yeah. Allegedly.
What do you mean?
I was trying to be safe.
Where I live?
Allegedly? Just be safe.
He doesn't want you to...
disclose your exact location.
You know,
we already got Jason in trouble for that.
I got you.
Sorry. You're downtown.
No, I appreciate it. I live downtown in an area where I'm sure I'd see the guard, right? Yeah, like prominently displayed, walking around, doing things.
All right. Are you excited about their arrival?
I don't know how to feel about their arrival.
My plan, I'm just curious to think about my plan. My plan would be, I don't know how many we're getting.
Yeah.
How many National Guard members we're getting, but we should put them in Memphis basketball home games to help with attendance. Like we should.
What?
Like we should.
That is
they
crazy.
They should attend the game as fans.
How many are we getting? Do you know how many we're getting?
I mean, what if we get like 1,500?
There's no way 1,500 guards are coming.
I don't know. I don't know.
Be a nice little bump.
Don't you? Is that a good plan?
It's a plan. it's a plan. That's for sure.
I'm workshopping it.
Yeah, let me know when you get a clear idea.
How many? So, over 2,000 in DC. So
damn, 2,000.
Yeah. So let's get 2,000 here, but condition you have to go to Memphis Tiger basketball game.
Every single home game.
Mm-hmm. You have to go to every
in the time that they're serving,
and we'll do it for the Grizzlies too because I know they were worried
they
about
need
the bump
as well. Yeah,
have to go to every Grizzly and Tiger game, but it's especially important. For like the Tulsa games, you know what I mean? Like the rat
Rice.
Games.
Yeah, we need a rice, man.
I think that would be a positive impact. We're already fixing things if we can get 2,000 National Guard members to the Memphis basketball home games, bro. We get the payout.
2,000 would be a positive impact.
I mean, that's because you know they start
significant bump.
They start announcing 11,000. You know, so it would automatically sound better.
Uh huh.
Your turnstile count would explode. I mean, boom.
By 2K, yeah.
Everybody would feel so much safer at the games downtown.
Doubt.
You know,
no doubt.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
With Ring cameras, you can protect your home from anywhere. You're at baggage claim, and you get emotion alert. Check live view and see a guy looking in your car window. Luckily, you've got floodlight cam. So you press the siren button and let 105 decibels do the rest. Problem solved. Home protected. Bag on its way. With Ring, you can protect your home from anywhere. Learn more at ring.com.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Thanks for selling your car to Carvana. Here's your check.
Whoa, when did I get here?
What do you mean?
I swear it was just moments ago that I accepted a great offer from Carvana online. I must have time traveled to the future.
It was just moments ago. We do same day pickup. Here's your check for that great offer.
It is the future.
It's the present and just the convenience of Carvana. Sorry to blow your mind.
It's all good. It happens all the time.
Sell your car the convenient way to
Carvana.
Pickup times may vary and fees may apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.